Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
And away we go into hour number three. The halftime show is behind us, ladies and gentlemen. It is on to the second half of the radio broadcast. Coming up later on in the show, I got a pair of tickets for you to go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra coming up on Friday, December 13th. A pair of shows. We have got tickets for you to go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra coming up later on in this hour of the show. I will give those away towards the end of the broadcast. So make sure you stay tuned for your chance to win tickets to go see I saw TSO last year for the very first time. Y'all, it's a dadgum rock and roll show, man. Like, they're not even asking me to say this. I'm just saying this. I saw TSO for the first time last year. It is the most 1980s rock and roll show I've ever been to in my life. And I've seen 1980s rock and roll shows. I'm in a 1980s rock and roll band. And I've never seen a show as wild as TSO. So if you've never gotten your chance to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra, I've got your chance to win two tickets coming up later on in the radio broadcast. Please stay tuned, and we will bring you those tickets later on in the broadcast. Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked in. By the way, those of you that are asking, I am aware that we are having some signal issues on 97.7 FM right here in the GVL. Yeah! And we're working on that. Our casting crew of young intrepid engineers, including Captain America, Chris Evans down the hall, they are on it right now. So hopefully we will have that signal back up and bumping. If you are having issues, if you are just barely hearing me, or if you are, you joined us on the stream or whatever, please feel free to tell people that you can still listen with crystal clear audio quality by going to thefanupstate.com or by grabbing the Odyssey app. You can listen anywhere around the world with an internet connection and a speaker. So if you're having issues hearing us on 97.7 right now, please know our crack staff of engineers, top men, are working on it right now, and hopefully we will have that issue resolved sooner rather than later. In the meantime, the Odyssey app, AUDACY, available on all of your digital devices, and thefanupstate.com have the show and the station streaming for you around the clock, 24/7, 365. So hit us up. If you were listening on those mediums, on those platforms, we would love to have you be a part of the show. We've been talking a lot of college football so far on the show. Let's flip it over and let's talk a little National Football League. I find this interesting. I was shocked that there was a pushback. Dave Canales, after the win, or excuse me, after, well, felt like a win, after the 3-point loss to the reigning, defending, undisputed Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs. A game in which, and I mean this, Bryce Young played his best game as a Carolina Panther to date. 260 yards and a touchdown. And as Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joined us yesterday, since we'll be off tomorrow, said there were also two or three drops, including one big Xavier Leggett drop that he told reporters after the game he felt sick about. He's like, yo, he could not have thrown. In fact, he texted Bryce Young after the game and was like, yo, you could not have thrown a better football. I've got to come up with that catch. Leggett said he was sick about dropping the ball. That was a good 40-yard pass that could have gone for probably closer to 60 had he been able to drag that thing in and keep in bounds for another 5, 10 yards with a defender on his back. That is wildly disappointing. Anyway, Dave Canales got to the podium, and a reporter had the audacity to ask the question, is Bryce Young still penned in as your starter? If you will turn that button back on for me, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to make any statements. He's making it for himself. You know, he's continued to show us the progress we're looking for, bringing our skilled players to life. You know, Xavier played the X position today, so just kudos to Xavier as well, just taking on a new role and finding some success there. You know, a couple plays he'd love to have back, I'm sure. He'll be the first to tell you. But, you know, talking about Bryce, you know, it's, again, you know, it's the coaching staff, it's his teammates. You know, he's showing us, you know, what he can do when he's out there.
So we can expect him to start next Sunday.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Did anybody have a question about that? Did anybody have a question about that? Because I got to tell you right now, if you think Bryce Young hasn't earned another week as the starter,
let me tell you, you don't know ball.
You don't know ball. He absolutely did. Bryce Young was dropping darts. And I told you, I think it was just, and I meant this. I meant it then, I mean it now. I think it was more than anything else a confidence issue for Bryce Young. And you guys know me. I'm not a big fan of talking about intangibles. I'm not a big fan of talking about the abstract. That is not to say that I don't know that those things are important. Those things absolutely are important. Confidence is a real thing. Culture is a real thing. Mentality, chemistry, these are all real things. But the problem is they're very hard to quantify. If not impossible to quantify. You know, you can say a guy looks more confident, is acting more confident. And you know what I'm talking about? I'm not just talking about football. I'm talking about life in general, right? Like, it's one thing if a dude walks in and he's got that kind of downtrodden body language, right? Like the head's down, the shoulders are slumped, whatever, versus a dude who kicks the door open and his head's up high and the shoulders are back and he's got that Vince McMahon swagger, right? Confidence. You can tell when somebody is confident versus a dude that's not confident. You can see the difference. And I think you can see the difference in quarterbacks too. But the thing is, you can also fake that. And unless you are in the locker room, I think you're by and large more often than not guessing about things when you talk about the abstract. Let's keep it a buck. Everybody with a mic is guessing most of the time that they're talking about sports. We're guessing, all right? We're guessing. You can report news, but the majority of people that you listen to in the sports talkosphere, most of us aren't breaking news. We're analyzing scenarios, a.k.a. we are taking the information that we have. We are forming an opinion, except for the hot take artists who just make crap up for the sake of ticking you off and getting you to respond to them. But hey, do your thing. I'm not here to judge. Most of us are doing the best we can to compile the information that is available to us, to put our own eyeballs on the product, and then to speculate what is happening, why it is happening, and what happens next now that it is happening, right? Like, that's our job. So here's my effort with that. I think Bryce Young getting benched for those few weeks behind Andy Dalton was the best thing that's ever happened to the to that young cat. I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to that young guy. I think that by sitting down and getting the opportunity to watch what the team looks like from a different perspective, I think it matters. I think it matters, and I think it clearly did some good for him. One of the things that I've done in years gone by is I have worked for different sports teams. Not so much like, I'm coming in to GM your team, although I can. All right. But more along the lines of Rob Brown, you're outside the organization, but you've been around a lot of local sports. Can you come in and just give us some suggestions on what we can do better? Almost like a consultant, right? So I have gone in, I haven't done it here yet, but in years gone by, I've gone into local organizations and I'll say, look, I interact with your fans on a regular basis, right? No matter what capacity I'm in, I interact with your fans. And so I'll go in and I'll go, hey, listen, here are the things your fans want more of and less of. Here's a different way to run your social media. Here's a different way to run your game day production. Here's a different way to run this event or that activity. Here's a different way to get your players communicating, whatever. And just kind of provide an outside voice. And sometimes that's immensely helpful for those teams, right? It's immensely helpful for those teams to just have the opportunity to get some fresh eyes on the product. Because if you're inside the building, just like a player, just like a quarterback inside the offense, if you're inside of a building, it's very difficult to break yourself out of the norm, out of the routine, and be able to look at things with an unbiased viewpoint. One of the things that I've done for teams in years gone by when I've acted in that role is to be able to say, whatever I say in here is not personal. It's not an attack. And the reason you got to do that is because when people have been with an organization or inside of an offense or whatever, they eventually evolve and adapt to only see that team through one particular lens, right? Whatever lens that might be, positive, negative, pessimistic, optimistic, whatever. And when you get into the routine that you can only see a thing through one particular lens, you maybe don't see some of the details. You maybe don't see some of the things that can be changed, that should be changed, that it would help you to change. Because you can't imagine doing it any different. I think that's what happened with Bryce Young. I think he got so locked in seeing that thing through the eyes of a starter that you've got Xavier Leggett and you've got, you know, John Brooks coming in and you've got all these, Jalen Coker and you've got a restructured offensive line that went out and got you a couple of Pro Bowl caliber guards to play across it. Like, there were all these changes. You've got Dave Canales, a new head coach and offensive coordinator over there. There were all these changes that most of us considered very good changes for the Carolina Panthers, but because Bryce Young was so used to seeing this offense as a starting quarterback who spent a year and some games getting his ass whipped constantly, that I don't think he could see it to make the changes he needed to change. So to go sit on the bench and get a new perspective, to be able to look and evaluate game film that doesn't have him in it, naturally drawing his eye to what he was doing. But to be able to look at that in a way that he wasn't the center of attention. He wasn't the one guy taking more criticism than anybody else. He wasn't having games and results and numbers and stats blamed on him. He was able to get a fresh perspective. And I think he took advantage of that. Texter said, 71307 is the text line. Start your text with fan. Texter said, Rob, one of the broadcasters for the Panthers game mentioned that Bryce was loose and confident, and I think most people could tell. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, it's one thing to be out there after a year of what happened last year with Frank Reich and the interim coach Chris Tabor. I think it's one thing to see the improvements. I think it's another thing when you're out there playing. I think you can still be locked into what happened instead of what is happening, or maybe more importantly, what you are trying to make happen. And I think by sitting down behind Andy Dalton, allowing somebody else to go out there and take the heat, somebody else to go out there and take the blame, somebody to play in that offense in a different methodology than Bryce Young, somebody to go out there and show you or give you the ability to look at that offense and that strategy and that those tactics and all that behind a different lens. I think it opened up the eyes of Bryce Young a little bit. And I think he said, oh, this Leggett kid can do some stuff. This Jalen Coker kid can do some stuff. This run game is there for me. These two new guards, Damian Lewis and Robert Woods, these two new guards are opening up holes. They're creating opportunity for me. And so what did we see out of Bryce Young this past Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs? We saw a guy who, at least in my eyes, and I know ball, at least in my eyes, what we saw was a quarterback who was hanging in the pocket. At least what I saw was a quarterback who was confident that he was being blocked for successfully. In the last couple of years, I think what you had was a quarterback who took the snap and could not look down the field to analyze the movement of defensive backs and linebackers, right? If you go look at my Twitter feed, twitter.com/TheRobBrownShow or x.com/whatever the hell it is, The Rob Brown Show on X. And you go back and you look at, I think it was Monday night. If you go back and you look at Monday night, I put up analysis of two plays of Bryce Young, both from the opening drive. One was the very first pass play from scrimmage that Bryce Young threw. And I kind of broke down the way that I saw that play go. Effectively, Kansas City, on the weak side of the offense, Kansas City was playing a single high safety. They had man press coverage on the receivers on the outside. There were two out to the right, two out to the left. BY in the back with a running back. They had press coverage on the outside receivers. They had a single high safety and one wide receiver, Adam Thielen, in the slot off to Bryce Young's left. Adam Thielen had cushion to his man-man defensive back. So Bryce Young, knowing that he had press coverage on his outside wide receivers, he did a couple of things. He gets the snap, and you can see it. The eyes go directly out to the defensive back that's provided some cushion on Adam Thielen. Because there's three options here for what that defensive back can do. Option number one is he stays in soft coverage against Adam Thielen, in which case Bryce Young's got to throw a laser out to Thielen to complete that pass and give Thielen a second to set himself and work against the cushion defensive back. Option number two is that defensive back can attack Adam Thielen, in which case if Thielen recognizes that and BY recognizes that, once that DB is on his horse to get up to Adam Thielen, right? He was trying to trick BY into throwing a loop pass out there. Thielen stutters. He goes on a blister nine, just haul down the field, and BY tries to drop it over the top between the DB that Thielen cooks and the safety who's going to come over the top to defend it. Or the third possibility is that the defensive back blitzes Bryce Young. in which case Adam Thielen is going to sit down at the spot and Bryce Young is going to get it to him, but he's got to go up and over the blitzing defensive back. BY gets his eyes out there. He reads what the DB is doing. The DB comes on a delayed blitz. Once the blitz is on its way, Bryce Young just kind of floats it over the top to Adam Thielen. Thielen gets it. He's got 7 yards of positive gain before he gets to the defensive back, to the single high safety who's come up to make the stop. It's good for a 7-yard gain. Is it the most explosive thing that's ever happened? Absolutely not. But what it showed me was that Bryce Young's eyeballs were looking at the defensive backfield. They weren't looking at where the rush was coming from. He was trusting the offensive line to set those blocks. He was trusting Chuba Hubbard to be there as his secondary line of defense from anybody who got any pressure on him. He was trusting his guys, trusted Thielen to see what was happening, to recognize it, to adapt and be in the right place, and he trusted himself to throw a finesse ball over the top. And it was perfect. 7-yard gain. Carolina's now working ahead of the sticks on 2nd and 3. That is what I think Bryce Young picked up in that spot. That is the type of stuff that you are seeing out of BY in this new setup, in this new concept. I think he deserves credit for it, and I think it was the seeding of Bryce Young that gave him the opportunity. I think it was a wizard move from Dave Canales. I think it was a wizard move from that staff. And now all of a sudden, Dave Canales is getting asked, is BY the starter? And he's saying, I shouldn't have to answer that question. You should already know. And I respect him for it. All right, let's take a break. Got a few more NFL stories that I'm going to get to when we come back here in just a minute from now. Then we'll have Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, join us to close out hour 3 of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Short segment here as we have got Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us coming up in the next segment of the show. We'll check in with the Bits as they are rolling through the early portion of their season so far. Got about a third of the season under their belts. It runs all the way up through February before we get to the playoffs in March. We'll talk with Mark Benetti of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits coming up here in just a few minutes from right now. Very much looking forward to having Mark back on the radio broadcast. Final hour of the show belongs to you. The renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is open, 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. You can also text us on the text line at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, and we will read them on the show. You can also shoot us a tweet at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show. You can send us a tweet at The Fan Upstate if you want to get to everybody up in here. You are certainly welcome to do it. We're going to continue our discussion about rivalry weekend across the college football landscape. We will also get into our NFL weekend picks, predictions, prognostications, and projections coming up as well. Texas said, Rob, what are you going to do if they, and talking about they, I said earlier in the show, because it's hate week. So we're haters ball. We're just hating on stuff today. All right. Just hate away. I don't care what you say. Yeah, I'm a love, joy, happiness kind of guy. I'm a big old fluffy teddy bear. All right. I like happiness. Why would you want to be anything but happy? If you have the option to be happy, choose to be happy. All right, I'm a big ball of happiness up in here. But sometimes it's just nice to vent. It's just nice to get stuff off your chest, right? It's just nice to be able to say, ah, screw that guy. Like Jerry Jones, if you're a Cowboys fan, for instance. I'll tell you why here in just a moment. But sometimes it's just nice to be a hater. Am I right? So today, I'm looking for you to be a hater. What are we hating on today? All right? What are we hating on? One of the things I'm hating on is not gender reveal parties. All right? Because again, I don't need a reason to go to a party. If you're throwing a party, I don't care if it's a gender reveal party. I don't care if it's a baby shower. I am here, especially if I am your friend, to support you. Okay, I'm here to support you. And I'm almost being a bit hypocritical on this one because, yes, I spent years and years and years saying hashtag end fall weddings. And then I had a fall wedding. Now, the wife and I tried to pick a fall wedding where we thought the college football schedule was going to be relatively light. And for the most part, it was. And we also, I literally told friends of mine, as much as I would love to have you there, if you can't make it because you already have tickets to a game or whatever, I promise you, I'm going to understand. I had at least two people not come because they had already purchased tickets to go see Clemson play NC State, and it happened to be that day. Okay, cool. I'm not mad about it. What I am going to say is, if you throw a party like that and you throw it on a weekend that you know is a massive sports weekend or sports day, that's where it's a problem, right? You know what I didn't do? I didn't say, hey, babe, what do you say we get married? Rivalry weekend. No. We got bigger fish to fry, okay? We got bigger fish to fry. So when I got a note that said, hey, Rob Brown, one of your friends from high school who's wanted to be a dad for a very long time, and he's becoming a dad, he's having his gender reveal, and you're going to be in town that weekend, would you like to come Saturday to the gender reveal party? I said, I'm very busy that day. I'm very sorry. I have a show. I can't skip the show, which is a lie. I could skip the show. I just am 100% using that as a way to lie to my friends to not go. You threw your gender reveal on Rivalry Saturday. Make it on Sunday. Hell, make it on Black Friday. We're all off on Black Friday. Well, the lucky of us. We're off on Black Friday. Throw it on Friday. I'll come on Friday. Hell yeah, I'll come on Friday. Are you kidding me? Throw it on Sunday. I will skip some NFL games to come on Sunday. I like a good party. We stand out in the parking lot, drink some good bourbon out in the driveway, vent about things, talk about golf. I'm 40 years old. I will come to your party to stand in your driveway and talk about golf and the economy.
How's the stock market treating you, Bob? Real good, Jim. Thanks for asking.
I'm down with that. I'm that age now. I'm good with that. But you put it on Rivalry Saturday? And this guy's a football fan. This isn't like, you know, like you got those friends. They ain't sports fans. They don't understand. They don't know. They don't get it. It's not circled in red on the calendar like it is for the rest of us. But it is for the rest of us. What are you doing? No. So Texter said, what are you going to do if they somehow hear you say this on the radio and get offended? The only reason I'm saying it on the radio is because they hate football. And so they're not listening, so I don't particularly care. All right? I don't care. What are you going to do? Don't put it on Rivalry Day. You know better. It's not like this is a secret. Like, even your non-sports fans know what this weekend is. Everyone you know in your life that's a Clemson fan is talking about beating South Carolina this weekend. Every one of your friends that's a Bama fan is talking about beating Auburn this Saturday. Every one of your friends that's a Florida fan is talking about how they're dropping 99 on the Seminoles this weekend. And they actually might. Florida might hit that over by themselves. The point is, this isn't a secret. It's not some guarded, off-brand, sideways Saturday. No. This is the biggest Saturday of the year. For those of us that celebrate, this is the Saturday. And you said, hey, what if you come over and don't watch football? Yeah, 0% chance. Not happening, bud. Not happening. I hope hitting your little golf ball or popping a balloon or whatever you're going to do, I hope it goes well. And I hope you get whatever gender of baby it is that you're going for. I really do. I wish you the best. I will send a bottle of bourbon, but there's no chance I'm skipping a day where every game from 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time up until 10:30 p.m. Central Standard Time is nothing but hate. You think I'm missing out on that? Knock it off. What are we doing here? All right, when we come back, Mark Benetti is the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. The Bits having a hot little run of things. Had a little slow start to the season. A rough L a couple of Saturdays ago, but the boys are heating up. The Bits are in fuego. And we'll talk with Mark Benetti about that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And away we go, wrapping up the 8 o'clock hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. And for those of you that are perhaps new to the show, first off, welcome to the Rob Brown Show Armada. Great to have you. Number two, on Wednesdays at this time, we take it all down to the Bon Secour Wellness Arena, and we check in with the fellas of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. And today, we have the joy and the privilege to be joined on the air by the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, or as it says on his business card, the mouth of the bits. Mark Benetti joins us here on the show. What's up, you well-mustachioed son of a gun?
Well, you certainly recovered there. We went back to the mouth of the bits, but then you recovered by saying I actually don't look like I have a dead skunk on my face. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's a choice, man. Listen, and I want you to know I'm Team Benetti Stash. All right, I do think you need to come down. Like, let's Fu Manchu that thing up a little bit. All right, like let's bring it back to like the Doc Ellis 70s vibes.
Oh yeah. Now is that with or without the no hitter while on LSD?
Allegedly. Yeah. Right, allegedly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. Also, if that's not the greatest performance in the history of sports, I don't know what is. All right. Jordan's flu game, my man was actually hungover. All right. Kirk Gibson going yard on a broken freaking leg. Spectacular. Mm-hmm. But knocking down a pound of hallucinogenics and then going and fanning 27 in an MLB. I don't care if it was 19, whatever the hell it was. That might be the greatest sports performance of all time.
Yeah, and then considering at one point I think Ronald Reagan was the umpire too. I mean, you know, there's really a lot to kind of unpack with how he did all of that. So, but you are correct. I mean, Kobe drops 81, Wilt drops 100, but Doc, while he literally saw monkeys in the infield as umpires trying to man second base and first base was pretty great.
I mean, again, allegedly, that word gets a lot of run. Yeah. In the sports world. All right, Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. My dude, let's dive in to this hockey team just a little bit. A couple of Saturdays ago, they get beat at the house 8-0. It was not great. And talking to Kyle Mountain, talking to some of the boys after the game, they were not in a good way. But then, as the legendary Taylor Swift once said, shake it off, shake it off. The boys have been electric since then. I am a big believer, Benetti, and this is why I'm interested in the Indiana Hoosiers in the landscape of college football. I am a big believer that a team cannot be the best version of itself until it gets punched in the mouth. And that doesn't necessarily mean lose a game. It just means to get punched in the mouth and be challenged. That's what happened that night, and this team has reversed course entirely since then. What's been the difference? Was it just a matter of having to look each other in the face and go, what the hell are we doing here? Let's fix it. Or was there some magic cure-all? Did Kyle Mountain have the Michael's Secret stuff that got this team playing their best hockey?
I mean, honestly, when you talk about a challenge, it's a number of things. You get challenged by the back-to-back-to-back defending champs in your own house. And quite frankly, you do get a little embarrassed there. It wasn't a great night for anybody, right? But the challenge also came from Coach Mountain to leadership, and it came from Coach Mountain to the locker room of, you guys want to play this brand of hockey, we're not going to last very long, and the door is right there, right? I mean, maybe he said that, maybe he didn't. I don't know specifically what was said outside of when I asked him about it. He said, what's our response going to be? We have to respond tomorrow, so what is that? Are we going to try and swing right back with a right cross? Are we going to try and, you know, outlast them? Are we going to do whatever, this and that? There had to be a response, and quite frankly, there was. And that response, thankfully, has established itself over the last four games where the team has won all four of them. A couple are the most recent one in convincing fashion, but the other ones, by battling with adversity, by being punched in the mouth throughout 60 minutes and coming out on top of the title belt. So I think that challenge was not just on the scoreboard. I think the challenge was from leadership. I think the challenge was from the coaching staff. And thankfully, that message was well-received and continues to be well-received as they go for five in a row tonight.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. And it's not just Benetti that they're on a four-game heater right now. It's that they're on a four-game heater against teams that are on the top of the table. I mean, it's sometimes it's nice to come off of getting your brains beat in by Ohio State and then have Purdue the next weekend. But this is a team that got beat Indiana Ohio State style, and then they got Georgia waiting for them the next week, and then and then whoever else the week after that. It's not just that the team has been winning, and there have been some close ones. You score with 36 seconds left to prevent overtime in one of them, but like these are games where the bits are playing well. It's honestly I don't want to say the beginning of the season was bad, because it certainly was. It was slower, I think, than Mountain wanted in that spot. But man, it's just been all afterburner, all gas, no brakes since that point in time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, too, has to come down with chemistry. And it's certainly not an excuse. It's the reality of a new sports season, right? When you look at our forward group, especially, how many new guys are up front? I off the top of my head, the likes of Ben Freeman and Austin Saint coming back from last year, right? And then you get new guys like the veteran Tyson Fawcett. You get Brent Peterson off his best two-year stretch. Ben Poisson's a rookie. Patrick Moynihan's a rookie. Then you get Tate Singleton from the American League. You get Bryce Brodzinski from the American League. Curtis Savoy from the AHL. All these new guys that are very talented. And it's not to say the first five games when the team went 1-3-1, they weren't gifted. They absolutely were. But you know better than anybody watching sports for as long as you have, it takes time for things to work. You know, teams in the NFL can start off 0-3 and then magically win six in a row because they finally have chemistry. They have a system down. They've got the playbook installed, right? All these different things. That's no different for hockey. The benefit of hockey is you get to do it 72 times. And so if the first five don't work, great. You have another 67 to go. And in this most recent stretch, the team's playing really awesome hockey, and they're doing it in just about every which way. But the chemistry is the biggest thing. You've got the line of Freeman, Savoy, Singleton that's clicking at an alarming rate. You've got the third line of Roloffs and Brodzinski and, sometimes Colton Young's on that line. Mostly he's on the second line, but you know, you've got a lot of different talent there. The second line even too of Arvid Katteroth and Colton Young and Patrick Moynihan, they're doing great things. And so everybody's contributing, but the chemistry really is the biggest takeaway for me.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate, talking a little rabbit hockey as the boys get a little weekend away from the well. Kind of interesting, and I noticed this the other day, Mark, that Greenville has had a blitz of home games. I think like a third of the home games have already been knocked down, which means that, unfortunately, there's some road stretches coming up for this squad, and there's obviously stuff going on at the well. That's just the reality of playing lower level professional hockey. There's going to be spots where they're scheduling, and you got to kind of work that in. But I don't think there's much that you could ask for that could be better than having this homestand, getting to play at the house, to utilize friendly ice, to kind of develop that chemistry you're talking about before you're going on the road for 2 or 3 weeks at a time and being away from your own apartment and your own bed and those long bus trips and all that. What are the challenges coming up on the road that the Rabbits are going to have to stare down after playing more games at home to start the season than anybody else in the league?
Well, you're certainly going to have to grind for it when it matters the most towards the end of the season. And heck, even in the middle of the season, in the dog days where you're dealing with some injury, where you're dealing with some fatigue, where, you know, you're dealing with all the things that come with travel, too. I'm looking at the calendar, not to get the cart too far ahead of the horse, but at the end of January, the start of February, there's a 7-game road trip where the team's pretty much going to be gone for 2 full weeks, playing Cincy on a Wednesday, Indy a couple of nights later on a Friday, Saturday, and then the whole next week against the defending champs in Florida for 3 games and 4 nights. That's a long stretch away from home. The benefit of the challenge of being on the road, though, is that on the road's where you find your team. You know, you get on the bus, you have those fun moments with the guys, you get in the airport, you're playing Schnarps, you're getting more time with those guys. I don't want to necessarily say in a forced setting, but let's call it that just for the sake of the argument that, you know, not to say they don't hang out at home, but on the road, you don't have a choice. You have to be with your team, right? And I think that's where teams are built. So, yeah, there's challenges. You're going to go into some pretty hostile environments. You're going to come up against teams that maybe at that time they are playing their best hockey. But you take that challenge and you turn it into a strength of yours where that's where you can find your team. And, you know, the last two road games this team's had, they've had great success. One of them was against Atlanta, 2-1 gut it out win back on November 10th. Then a couple of nights ago, you're in Savannah, the number three team in the division, fighting for number two, and you come from behind and beat them in the third period with a strong finish. So, you know, you're up against a very upstart Atlanta team that's on a 3-game point streak tonight. You go celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow, hopefully wear off the tryptophan, because Friday you're in North Charleston against the number two team in the division. And then Saturday you're up against the Jacksonville team that just got embarrassed in your building. And you know they're going to try and throw it back in spades at you to end off the week.
Looking at the team that when we spoke a couple of weeks ago was hanging out around sixth in the South Division, they are now up to fourth. They are 1 point behind Savannah in third. They are 4 points behind South Carolina in second. But the interesting thing is they've played fewer games than everybody in this division than Jacksonville. So if you are looking at this on a point per game average at this point, Greenville's absolutely right up there with Florida, South Carolina, Savannah at the top of the table. It's just a matter of getting the numbers averaged out as the season progresses. Is this, in your opinion, based on what we've seen so far, is this team a legitimate South Division championship threat?
It very well could be. I still think it's too early to tell. And because, again, you know, you're going to run into the injury bug. And then what we also haven't accounted for yet is you're going to run into the pillaging, as former head coach Andrew Lur used to call it, of the American Hockey League and the NHL, where guys are going to start getting called up because they're going to go through the exact same thing. So the Swamp Rabbits have only been the casualty of two call-ups right now, and that's Jacob Bingham on the goaltending position and Caleb Lawrence right after he made his pro debut up front on the forward line. So I certainly think this team has the makings of it, but when you look at the grand scheme of the division itself and the landscape of who we're playing against, it's still way too early to tell because guys are still playing musical chairs with their affiliate. Guys are still dealing with injury and trying, you know, even for a couple of new coaches in this division, trying to get their systems installed. You know, Coach Mountain is one of, I believe, three brand new coaches in this division, along with Jared Stahl and Savannah and Brandon Mashinter in Jacksonville. So those are three teams. One of them, two of them competing very well right now in the top four of the division, but still trying to find what is their coaching voice, right? What is the grand play out of how this all is and how much is your roster going to shake up? But if this team keeps playing the way they are now, where they're scoring in five-on-five, where they're not relying on but getting contribution from the power play, and where the goaltending, quite frankly, at this moment seems impenetrable, it's looking pretty good.
I don't disagree. And one of the reasons why Mark Benetti is goalkeeping. I think when Inge got called up, there was a little bit of panic amongst the fans, and especially because when Dry McKay stepped between the pipes for the first time in a full replacement role of Inge, not a great debut in that 8-0 loss. And I see you out there, Swamp Rabbit fans, in that Facebook page. There were a lot of complaints and concern, but since then, Dryden McKay might as well change his last name to Wall, because dude has been damn near impossible to get the puck past no matter what offense. Florida, South Carolina, Savannah all struggling against Dryden McKay. Talk to me about maybe what shifted between that young man's first couple of opportunities. I know he was a fantastic college level goalie. What is it that's clicked the last few weeks and has turned Dryden McKay into the goalkeeper he's become for the Bits?
If you asked Dryden that exact same question, he'd say everybody in front of him has stepped up. For everybody else watching, yes, that is the case. But he, too, has also taken the onus on himself to put this team in positions to win. I knew a guy a long time ago working for the Rapid City Rush that said the goaltender's job isn't to stop every puck. It's to give his team a chance to win, which, you know, we all talk about how goaltending and pitching and baseball are very congruent. You give your team a chance to win at the end of the day, whether you're on the bump, whether you're in between the pipes. Dryden's doing that every day. He's attacking pucks, stopping them. His positioning's phenomenal. He's getting help in front of him from his defense. Dryden will even tell you, he told me the other night with some post-game remarks that, when a goaltender can see the puck, the game becomes so much easier. And the defense in front of him is allowing him to see shooting lanes. It's allowing him to see shots come off the stick. And quite frankly, the ones that he can't see, it's because his own teammates have blocked them. So it's a perfect storm for a number of reasons, and that's not to take away from his play because it has been phenomenal. But if you asked him that question, he'd tell you everybody in front of him is really stepping up and getting it done. But he's capable, and everybody should have known that he's capable. You talked about his college career, 113 wins in 140 games, three-time Hobey Baker Award finalist. He won the award in 2022 after setting the single-season college record with 38 wins in a year. He has the NCAA shutout record with 34, and on his Hobey, he's only the third goaltender in all of college history to win it. So, I mean, there is clearly capability there, and now he's showing it. But then, again, too, it's also his team stepping up as well.
Mark, But Eddie is the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. We talk Big Hockey every Wednesday at 8:40 here on the show. And before we turn you out there, do want to let the folks know that the Swamp Rabbits, like everybody else, jumping in to provide the upstate community with a little access to Black Friday and Cyber Monday this week. Black Friday through Sunday evening, the Swamp Rabbits have holiday packs that include 10 ticket vouchers, good for any regular season 2024 or 25 hockey game. It comes with a Swamp Rabbits branded Christmas ornament, a $20 gift card to the Hop Shop, and they've got a couple of different packages available. You can look at those at swamprabbits.com/holiday and on Cyber Monday starting at midnight on Sunday going into Monday and running through Monday, $25 tickets for any game in December or January with no fees attached anywhere in the lower bowl. You can pick that deal up at swamprabbits.com/Cyber Monday. I feel like I nailed that as a salesman there, Ben Eddie. I feel like I smoked that one.
You nailed it. I think you should get a commission for that, to be honest. I'll have to talk with Andrew DePew, our vice president of sales, on that.
Doopy, I'm just saying. Benetti's a genius, and everything he says you should listen to. I completely agree. Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, a.k.a. the mouth of the bits, joins us as we talk rabbit hockey every Wednesday at 8:40. My man, I appreciate it. Enjoy the calls this weekend. I'll be listening from down in the Florida region, buddy.
Thanks so much, Rob. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you guys, too.
You think Jacksonville as a city sucks as much as I do?
It's not on my top five.
There it is. That's all. That's good enough for me. He can't be mean. So that's a good way to put it. Mark Benetti, voice of the bits. Stay tuned. We are back for the final hour of the day, final hour of the show, final hour of the week when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. College football playoff rankings drop last night. Oregon remains alone on the top at the number one spot. The Big Ten has three of the top four spots, with Ohio State second and Penn State fourth, while the highest ranked SEC team is Texas at number three. Notre Dame is five, followed by a pair of two loss SEC teams in Georgia and Tennessee. SMU and Indiana wrap up the top 10. Boise State is the highest group of five team at number 11, a spot ahead of number 12. Clemson trailed by three loss SEC teams, Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina. The LA Dodgers, fresh off their World Series championship parade, have already upgraded, added left-hander free agent Blake Snell yesterday on a five-year, $182 million contract, the third largest ever handed out to a lefty. The two-time Cy Young winner opted out of his Giants contract to sign with LA. And the University of North Carolina announced that they were firing head football coach Mac Brown less than 24 hours after Brown announced his plans to return to UNC. He was with the team from 88 to 97, spent 15 years at Texas, won a natty, and returned to North Carolina in 2019, winning the ACC in 2022. We're back with the final hour of the Rob Brown Show after this on the Fan Upstate.